shake hands with somebody before you sit down, just pass those smiles all around. There he goes. Good, you got it.
As a church, we are so blessed to have two pastors whose method of teaching and preaching from the pulpit is the expository word of God. Our hearts need to be thankful that we have two men who are very, very apt in their ability to preach the Word of God, and they are true to the Word of God. Our course for this month is Trust His Word. On Wednesday night, our pastor is helping us to know how to not just go through the motions of our devotions, but to be sincere and learning from what we read as we study God's word on our own. It seemed appropriate to me this morning, in light of those things, to sing a medley of songs this morning about the word of God. Precious book, it's the Word of God. It's the only book that God has given. As I read, God speaks to me. I see Christ and Calvary, the wonderful stand as the ages roll. It's the living and eternal word. It's my guiding light each day, and without it I will stray. The wonderful Word of God. Holy Bible, book divine, precious treasure, thou art mine, mine to tell. Tell of joys to come and the rebel sinner's doom. O thou holy book divine, precious treasure, thou art mine. The Bible stands like a rock, undaunted mid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with the truth eternal, and destroy it they never can. The Bible stands, though the earth may crumble, it will firmly stand. When the earth shall tumble, I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. Dear Lord, may I each day read thy precious word. May I love it and obey it too. May I grow to be like thee. May my friends see Christ in me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. Now tonight, when you get here, I will not be coming into the service late. I won't be here at all. It's not because I'm skipping out. Pray for me. I am backsliding. No. I'm going to be with teens at a teen retreat at Camp Assurance. And it's going to be an overnighter, and I'm one of the counselors. But I'm also the speaker, too, so that's going to be even crazier. So just help me to keep them all awake tomorrow during the different speaking times. It's called the Teen Light Retreat. It's just an emphasis on how to be the light that we are supposed to. In Jesus' name. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. We're titled this, Simplify. How many of you have started out the year and you wanted to become a minimalist? You just wanted to simplify your life. You just wanted to take everything that you possibly could out of your life. Okay, a few. All right. Some of you tried and gave up within the first 3 days because you like all your stuff, right? When we were deciding to, or were we thinking about coming to Taylorville, the idea popped into our head to buy a tiny home. Have you ever heard of those? They are about 400 or 500 square foot homes, and every space is used for like three different functions. We thought about that. We watched shows on it, and we decided that probably wasn't for us. Keely would kill me. Sometimes I think, oh man, that would be awesome, just to be able to go to something so simple. Just the basics of life, just living through it, just simplify life. Kind of like when we first got married. We didn't have internet when we first got married. Some of you think we didn't have internet when I was born. We had to power the TV by the bicycle. And I was the remote. I had to get up and go turn the channel and change the antenna and... It was just so simple. Sometimes we need to simplify our Christian life, don't we? How many books out there say, well, in order to become the best person you can be, just follow these 10 easy steps, but first send me $30 12 times in the next 5 minutes, and maybe I'll cancel one of those payments, right? There's so many things out there, self-help books of how to be the best person you could possibly be, how to be an American, how to be the right kind of church leader, how to be the minimalist, how to be whatever it might be. There's all kinds of things that we can go and research and educate ourselves on. But you know what God wants us to be? People who are keeping to the main thing. That's what we're talking about today. As you go into verse 1, it says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Speak thou the things that become sound doctrine. As we get into this, and as you know, on Sunday mornings, I try to pull from Titus as a series there, and it's been a little while. I think the last time was in November, and we talked about Paul and what his ministry was, what his scope was, what he would try to teach the gospel. He was based on that. He was a servant of God. He was an apostle of Jesus Christ. And we talked a little bit about Titus and what he was sent to do and his job and how he trusted Titus to be the right kind of leader to go up and raise more leaders within Crete, because we need more leadership. We need people that will rise up and do the right thing and help people through it. And this is what they needed, because why? There was some bad leadership, some leadership that they needed to correct. Why? Because people were getting stuck on all the wrong things. They were becoming worldly. They were focused on money. They were apathetic about the real truth. They would claim Christianity, and yet they would live the total opposite. And so he comes in and he says, listen, you need to be the right kind of leadership, and you need to raise up the right kind of leadership on the island of Crete. And so as he's talking through all of this and giving all the issues that are going on within the church there in Crete, I mean, it's pretty intense as you talk about the empty talkers, the unruly, those whose mouths must be stopped, those who subvert whole households. It's a church issue where people are coming and dividing rather than becoming unified, rather than helping each other and standing by each other. They're stabbing each other in the back. And this is the issue that he's dealing with. And he's coming in and he's listening, hey, I want you to instead do this. This is how you're going to make it. I don't know if you've ever had a pretty big and daunting project. Anybody ever have a daunting project, like a house remodel? Now, some of you are feeling that, okay? And when you look at, who all saw the first pictures of what my house looked like before we started redoing it? Anybody see it? Didn't it look gorgeous? Oh, man. There was soot everywhere because they decided not to open up the vent in the fireplace. And so all the walls were black. Now, I know that's a new and a hip thing. You know, some churches are doing it. They're painting all the walls black and getting in the mood lighting. But that just wasn't our thing, okay? You know, black walls. And there was a lot of other things that we just didn't understand what was going on. You had to rip out all the flooring and replace it and paint everything and all new cabinets. And it was a pretty daunting task. And when I would talk and show people pictures, they'd be like, really? I don't see anything in that. Well, thank God for my dad and my mom who could help with vision. And my wife has way better vision than I do. And you look at it and you're thinking, am I ever going to get through this, right? But you know, as my wife got closer and closer to her due date, I started to really focus on the things that needed to be done so that we could be inside the house. I had to. I couldn't get distracted with all the other things. I had to focus on the right things in order to get the job done. And he's saying, where's this going? And it's Titus, as he comes in here, he's been given this huge task, and he's a young man, and he's looking at the island of Crete, and he's saying, where do I start? How do I get this done? What's going to happen here? What's the best moves here? Give me your best advice to be able to take this off. What kind of wisdom would you give me that will affect the rest of my life, the way that I work, the way that I train other leaders, the way that I help other people? Here it is in verse number 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. This will change everything. Come back to this truth. This will change how fathers lead their homes, how husbands lead their wives, how wives help their husbands, how wives train their children, how we work in the workplace, how we deal with other people within the congregation, how we deal with anything and everything in life. This is this turning point verse where he's saying, this is how you get it done. So we start off here with point number one. But as for you. There's that one word at the beginning. And you say, I hate it when people just focus on one word. Well, this is important. The word but there as a conjunction. And can anybody sing the song with me? Conjunction, junction, what's your function? Okay, all right. And some of you are wondering how I even know that song. Well, you know, when you go to Christian school, they have to bring out the 80s stuff, okay? So conjunction, junction, what's your function? I mean, there's a function here. There's a reason why this term is here. Why? Because there's a contrast between what was going on and what's going to happen here in the next scripture passages here, okay? So he's saying, listen, I want you to contrast with what's been going on. I want you to be different than these false teachers. I want you to give these people hope. Because when you deal with selfish leaders, people tend to walk away from that. They don't want anything to do with that. And here's saying, he says, I want you to be something different. I want you to contrast what the world can offer, what selfish people can offer. I want you to be different from that and give what God gives. It's a leading in a counter-cultural way. Listen, if our present day government is doing it one way, most likely we will be doing it a different way. I'm just saying. Because most of the time when you find our present day government, no matter who it is, a lot of it is motivated by what? The goodwill of the people. Right? Right? No. In my back pocket. Right? That shouldn't be the church. What's the world motivated by? That. It's motivated by numbers. It's motivated by all these other things that are focusing on the horizontal rather than the vertical. They're not taking God into the picture. They're not seeing Him as the primary source, as the way to go. They're not making every decision based off of Him. And He's saying, listen, you see that, I want you to be this. Don't try to see as close as you can get to this over here. Have you ever noticed Christians try to get too close to the line? Let's draw it back, okay? You notice how tiny tots always try to get too close to the line? Just ask Carolyn Lieberter. Ask anybody with a tiny tot. Kian, don't touch that. You find out their flexibility, right? Or wives. You say, don't eat those cookies that I just made. All of a sudden they're... that one, I think there's a fingerprint in that one. It might be mine, I'm not sure. But I'm going to just take that one because you can't take that to the church potluck. Oh, that's good, honey. Great. You did a great job. Let me take another one. Wow. In fact, just make a whole nother batch, okay? These are good. I just want to encourage you in the Lord in these, okay? I mean, you ever notice how people just get too close to the line? Christians are just getting, well, you know what? What the world's doing, that's really attractive. God says, don't do it. I wonder if He'll notice. Wonder if He'll notice. Yes, God notices. How come we get so dumb? I mean, telling us honestly. So you shouldn't use that term. And they call me the snowflake. How can we get so dumb about this? Why do we start justifying things and getting so close to this? He's saying, listen, I want you to be in contrast. I want you to be different. But as for you, let's go the opposite. You're going to swim upstream. You're going to go against the wind. You're going to be driving down the opposite way on a one-way street. Has anybody ever done that before? It's a little scary, isn't it? You start to second guess everything that you're doing as your spouse is screaming the whole entire way. And it's usually after they just woke up from a nap. The weirdest noises come out of, you know, just... Listen, Jesus has called us to a different way, a better way, the best way. And we have to acknowledge that. The simplifying our lives is to go down the route that Jesus wants us to go down. Number two is keep the main thing the main thing. And I stated this earlier, and this is probably one of the only quotes that I got from the president of Northland Baptist Bible College. I really struggled with him because he took down the school. If you ever wonder about the school that I went to, it's now closed down, the college. And no, I didn't close it down. It was actually the leadership that closed it down. When you get lied to by the leadership to your face, that's pretty rough leadership. But you know, he stated this, and it made so much sense. He says, keep the main thing the main thing. Keep the main thing the main thing. As you're going through this, he says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. This speak is, it's a present active imperative, okay? He's essentially commanding Titus to continually speak because we are continually in the present. Has anybody ever been in the past before? I mean, you don't have the, what is it, the DeLorean, that fancy car that goes back in time? Yeah, I didn't watch that movie. So yeah, no, we're constantly in the present. Okay, nobody's in the future right now. We are in the present. So this is a continual term that we are supposed to be doing, consistently speak sound doctrine. This is in his teaching, in his formal teaching, in his informal teaching. This is his livelihood. This is at home. This is with the church. This is out in the workplace. This is what he is calling us to do. What does sound mean? Sound means that it's healthy. What does doctrine mean? It means a truth to believe. What is he telling us to do? He's going to speak the word of God constantly. Now let's just grab the potential here, okay? If every single one of us had the Word of God on our lips at all times, how would it change our lives? Okay, how much complaining would come out of our lips? None. When you're constantly thinking and having the Word of God on your mind at all times, when you're speaking that sound doctrine, it's something that's healthy. It's not unhealthy, okay? In those terms of what you are allowing yourself to portray to others, to give to others, I want it to be healthy for them. I want them to be nourished by this. He wants them to be able to stand against the false teachers. He wants him to be able to be able to actually help these next leaders. Listen. I mean, Pastor and I have a desire to help more leaders become pastors or evangelists, missionaries, whatever that might be. We have that desire, but yet if we try to do it without the Word of God, we're failing. well, here's all the things that I have learned over the years. Just make sure that you're on time and make sure that you have this and that and this and the other. And then we forget about presenting the Word of God. And this is actually how you do it. This is how the Word of God affects your everyday living. That's what we need to be doing. When our kids come up to us and they start asking us questions about how to respond to different people throughout the day, well, you know, this is what I've always done. Maybe we should stop for a second and think, what does the Word of God say about this situation? Well, this is how I feel about... No. But speak thou the things that become sound doctrine. This is how I get through trials. This is how I accept my trials. This is how I help my children to get to the point where they can understand the reality of God. This is how I can help those in my Sunday school class, even though we go over a little bit, just to be able to understand what is next and how do I get through this next week and how do we battle the things that are going out in our world today, society that we live in. Listen, we live in a sinful society. Do you agree with that? I mean, is it pretty rough out there? Sometimes it's a little rough in here. How do I help me, my family, my church be able to go out and handle the everyday life? It is the Word of God and how I live, how I speak. That's what they need. And you know, it's the interesting part of this. It's not us sprinkled with the Word of God. We are infused with the Word of God. Now, I talked about chocolate chip cookies earlier, right? Now you're getting hungry, thinking, are the Methodists going to get there before us today? It's okay. You know the first wave of food is always bad anyway, so you want to go for the second wave. So, but you think about chocolate chip cookies, and you know it's interesting. As you mix the things together, you mix the ingredients together, you shouldn't see those specific ingredients. Like when you put in sugar, you shouldn't see pockets of sugar in your mix-up, right? Am I good there? Okay, all right. You shouldn't see baking ingredients, just pockets and something that you could separate. You have to mix it in well. And even the chocolate chips, I mean, you can see them, but if you try to separate, if it's a good cookie, and if you try to separate the chocolate chips from the cookie, you will take what with it? Part of the cookie. Right? Saying, Pastor, where are you going with this? Oh, believe me, I got somewhere. Okay? We're going. That is how our lives should be, in the sense of if you tried to take a piece of me, the Word of God should be right along with it. As you try to not compartmentalize where work is different than church, but everything reflects the glory of God. The way I interact with people in the workplace should have a piece of God with it, should have the Word of God with it. Everything, how I interact with other students during the daytime at school, how I interact with my teachers, how I respect them, should have the Word of God. They should be able to see the difference in my life. Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. But if they aren't treating me right, still what? They still need the Word of God. So give that over to them. What if I'm not agreeing with this family member? Doesn't matter. If they get a piece of you, the Word of God should be with that. Every bite should have a chocolate chip in it, shouldn't it? Amen. Every experience with you and with me should have the Word of God infused in it. To where instead of saying, well, I just had an experience with Taylor this afternoon. Wow, that felt like Jesus was a part of that conversation. to where instead of thinking that God is out there somewhere in the heavens and he never interacts with me, in my conversation with you, I'm actually experiencing God right there. Experiencing how the Word of God is changing me and how it just, it's like banya. We had that the other night. Man, we should have that at every potluck. You have to eat it. Why? Because if not, you will smell it. Right? It should be coming out through our pores. That's when you know you've had an adequate amount. How much Word of God do you need in your day? When it is just oozing from you. When I am so full of Him, other people get to experience that. Not I'm trying to get out of the bottom of the tank here and trying to get the, well, hopefully I get enough so I can help somebody out here. But I'm just overflowing with the goodness of God. We had a mower. I was up at a board at a camp, a small camp up in Michigan. And we had several acres that you had to mow. In fact, if you would mow with like a 60-inch mower, it would take you 40 hours in a week in order to mow. Isn't that crazy? Okay, so they'd have one of those golf course mowers, but it was always broken down. So, you know, that's how it works, right? You're in ministry. So every time I'd go out and preach a week of camp, I'd usually go out for teen camp. I'd go out and say, okay, in my spare time, give me the mower and I'll go out and mow. Well, all of a sudden, we started having some issues with the mower. And I brought it up and said, I don't know what's going on here. I've never had this issue. You know, what's going on? And they said, oh, well, it's the fuel filter. Why? Because every time you would empty it out fully, there would always be some dust that would get up in there and plug it up, and we had to fix that. Okay, it was so emptied out, it created the dust of the world, and it plugged it up. You say, where are you going with this? Sometimes we empty out, and we get plugged up with the world. Don't we? And it shuts us down. We have to go take a break. Rather than being full on God in His Word and the Holy Spirit just oozing from us at all times, we get plugged up. So as you're seeing this, you're seeing the effect of what's going on here and how this should be the simple Christian life. If you want to simplify things, go back to the Word. This is what he tells them to do. You know, it's interesting. When I get church leader magazines nowadays, this is not usually what's up number one in position of what you should be doing for your church to help it to grow. Well, make sure that your worship space is adequate and all the lighting is correct and all the painting is correct and make sure you have the right amount of coffee makers and this jazz and that jazz, and there's everything else except for the Word. Listen, I hope as you come today, I hope that you get the Word of God above anything else. I hope you don't go home and say, man, he had some goofy illustrations. Or, man, he looked weird. We all understand that. Let's get past it. Man, the Word of God is good today. The Word of God can change. The Word of God can build our church. The Word of God can do the difference. And if we want depth, if we want growth, if we want the meat, we got to go to the Word of God. Point number three, and the last point, the main thing transforms when we are continually mixing the gospel in with our speech, with our conversation, there should be a difference in our lives. And this is why I love Titus so much. And this is why this is that turning point verse within Titus is that I believe it's the turning point verse. And as you get into this and you see the hint of what is to come and what the Word of God does, you'll notice in the next few verses, it talks about the older men. It talks about the older women. It talks about the younger men, the younger women. It talks about us in the workplace. It talks about how the world sees us. It talks about all these other things. Listen, when the Word of God affects your life, you are changed. You will be transformed. And in that light, what it actually talks about is how you interact with other people. Christianity is not isolation. Well, we have to protect ourselves from the world. So as long as I never see any of the world, I will never have any problems. There was a simple song that we learned back in junior church and King's Kids. Hide it under a bushel. Oh, what was the word? No. And we were always more excited about this song than what you just presented. Hide it under a bushel. No! I just woke some of you up. We don't want to hide. We don't want to be isolated. We want the light to shine. What's it say in verse 7 and 8? It says, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. If somebody came up to you and said, this is what you got wrong with you, and they have nothing to back it up, wouldn't that be a good day? You got problems. Okay, point them out. Bring it on. No, I got Jesus. That's what I got. He dealt with the problems. He saved me from my problems. I got Jesus. So when you're coming back into this and seeing the transformation, it says in verse 10, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. You wear the doctrine of God. I came out of Kroger yesterday. And did anybody go outside yesterday? Was it cold? I was thanking God the whole entire time I didn't live in Michigan. Why? Because it's worse there. They got snow at the same time. Sorry, Pastor. Snow is worse. But I saw this guy come out of Kroger. He had shorts on. And I wanted to talk to him and say, what are you doing? What are you smoking? I said, what is going on? I mean, the goosebumps have to be this big. But then I didn't want to get close to him because I didn't know what he had. You know, I just said, what are you doing? You don't wear shorts when the temperature gauge on your truck just says ice. You just don't do that. You wear winter clothes. You will catch me with a coat on. It's what you do during the winter. I'm sorry if you believe otherwise. The altar's open at the end. I mean, just seriously, this is something that you say, duh. Shouldn't a Christian adorn the doctrine of God? The Word of God. Duh. It's just an understood. So as we close out here, I want us to understand that when you're preparing for the rest of the day today, how can you simplify your life? How can you simplify your week in understanding what needs to get done? Does anybody in here have a list that you know will never be finished? I think that's everybody. I call it the bucket list. So you're young. Why do you have a bucket list? Because I know I'll never get it done. It's just one of those things. So what do? You do the top priority, okay? It is so important when the top priority is God. So how have you intentionally put him as the top priority in your list? Fathers, how are you leading your home? Keeping and adorning the word of God. Mothers, teens, kids, single folk, did I catch everybody yet? How is the word of God becoming priority in your life? How are you simplifying your life to the point where this is affecting every aspect as you walk, as you talk? And if you say today that you have no idea what I'm talking about and that you've never become a child of God, you don't understand the gospel, you don't understand the difference that it takes having God as your father, today could be your day. It's offered out there. There's the gospel that Christ came to change you, that you could claim being in Christ. That you have a different identity, that your last name changes to saint. Child of God. Are you ready to do that today? If that's you, are you ready to do that? You have that opportunity. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for all that you've done here. And again, for offering this opportunity for us to get into your word and God, hopefully to be changed by it, to see the simple aspects of it. And we can back up and say, okay, what needs to change in our lives? So what do we need to get rid of? How do we put this first place? How do we adorn the doctrine of you? God, if there's someone here that isn't saved, that has never acknowledged this, that this is confusing too, that they have questions, may they ask those questions. May they reach out. May they move forward at the time of invitation and say, I need God. Would you move them? Would you push them, convict where they need to be dealt with? But would you push and convict the Christians here today on me and all the things that I need to work on in simplifying my life? In Jesus' name, amen.